CPS Wednesday.
We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
I'm a citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe. I'm a
survivor. I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor, Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
Good morning. Today is Wednesday, May 27th, and you are listening to the 24/7 Sports College Basketball Show. I'm your host, Tani Levitt, and we have a fun interview for you today. 24/7 Sports Director of Recruiting, Evan Daniels, has been prolific in this corona times. While we've been social distancing, he has been conducting interview after interview, both recorded and not. And he's going to join us today to talk about his myriad interviews, including John Wall, Coach K, Roy Williams, Tom Izzo, etc., etc. The list goes on. He's got college stars, NBA stars, future college and NBA stars, and all of that on 24/7 Sports social distancing. But before we get there, I hope that you take the time to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. We are there and on Stitcher, on everywhere else. And if you don't mind giving a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts, that really makes a difference. And if you have a question, a topic that you want us to cover on the show, put in a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts. In that written review, tell us what you want us to talk about. Ask us a question. I will get someone on the show who can answer that question for you. Those ratings really make a difference to us, and I hope by extension to you, they bring attention to the show and allow us to make it even better for you as the time goes on. So without further ado, we're going to do Evan Daniels, and at the end of the interview, I've got a quick couple of housekeeping issues that you won't want to miss. So stay tuned.
All right, bringing in now Evan Daniels, 24/7 Sports Director of Basketball Recruiting. Evan, thank you so much for fitting me into your busy schedule.
Hey, thanks for having me, brother. Always good to jump on here with you.
Yeah, so you started all your social distance interviews with this question, so I've got to turn it around on you. What are you watching these days?
You know, I have definitely utilized Netflix, HBO Go, and Showtime. I'm currently on Billions. I started it from the beginning. I had never seen Billions before.
Oh, Billions is a treat.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. So I'm watching that. I rolled through Outer Banks like everyone else in the world. I actually only watched an episode and a half of Tiger King. And then a lot of my friends told me that they thought The Wire was the best show like that of all time. And I started and finished that the first couple weeks of quarantine. I thought it was solid. Not the best show of all time, but definitely solid.
Yeah, wow. I felt the same way when I watched The Wire last year. I felt the same way. I'm impressed with how much TV you've been able to watch considering all the stuff. You've conducted, it feels like, a billion interviews since we got locked out of the office. Rick Pitino, Roy Williams, Coach K within the first couple weeks. And since then, a ton for the 24/7 Sports Social Distancing YouTube series. I won't even bother to list them all. So I'm curious, how has the coronavirus, and it seems you're rabid hunger for new TV, impacted your ability to stay in touch with your contacts across the industry?
You know, look, dude, like, we've got to all find ways to be valuable. And I think through this, people are a little more accessible than maybe in other times. So I just decided, hey, let's just reach out to guys and start doing interviews. And like you said, I did a Q&A with Pitino, Roy Williams, Coach K. The list goes on, though. Bill Self, Tom Izzo, have had some cool guests, like Bill Raftery was this week. John Wall, I think, is probably the best interview that I've ever conducted. And part of it was the familiarity between he and I, but it was one of the more fun interview conversations that I've had since I started doing this. It was a good opportunity and time to try to get these big names in the basketball industry on our platform. And I wanted to try and take advantage of that time.
Yeah, I'll tell you for sure that my brother and I watched the John Wall interview. There was not a moment when we got bored. It was really, really good. And if anybody hasn't yet watched the 24/7 Sports Social Distancing YouTube series, I strongly encourage you to go check it out. There's a link to our YouTube page in the show notes. We've got interviews from Evan and many of our other amazing insiders and analysts and writers who are bringing in their favorite contacts. It's really a good series. So I strongly encourage you to check that out. So Evan, I feel like every college basketball push notification I'm getting these days has either your name or 24/7 Sports, and by proxy, your name attached to it. You know, between all the recruiting scoops releasing the final class of 2020 recruiting rankings and these myriad interviews, two questions. One, how many hours are you working at these days? And two, what was it like the first time, I'm sure it was a while back, that you saw your own name attached like a push notification? What was that like?
I don't remember the first time, honestly. I do remember when Twitter started. I had just moved to Lexington, Kentucky. I was probably maybe a year or two out of college. And honestly, as you're well aware, Twitter just became a place for news and a place to push out content. And, it's always nice when you can break a good story or get that interview that you want to get and people share it, because that means more people are going to see it. I don't remember the first time, but, certainly the more shares, and the more push notifications, the more people read your work, which is always something you want.
Yeah. So let's focus in on the social distancing interviews. I'm curious, has there been one or two answers from any of the interviews you've conducted that really stood out to you?
Yeah, there's certainly been a handful, and honestly, a lot from the interview with Wall, when he, I didn't know the story about him telling John Calipari if Xavier Henry was going to go to Kentucky, that he was out. I knew that there was a strong chance, or maybe a better way to put it, I knew that Miami was heavily involved in his recruitment, and he took an official visit down there. They were deep in there. I didn't know that he just flat out told Calipari, if this kid comes, I'm not coming. And keep in mind, Xavier Henry was the number six player in the country. So it's not like he was saying, don't take this top 100 kid. It was, don't take this elite player. So that answer really stuck out to me. Frank Martin's answer when I asked him, kind of what he's learned or what he's going to take from the quarantine. And he started talking about his family and basically saying that he has utilized this time to really get to know his kids on a deeper level. And, that was pretty heartwarming. So that answer certainly sticks out in my mind. Those would probably be the top two, but honestly, there's been quite a few that ring out to me.
That Xavier Henry story was crazy to me, because I think it really goes counter to what people regular college basketball fans or basketball fans assume about one and done players, that they just want to play with the best people. And to hear the number one player say that the number six player isn't a fit and I don't want to play with him, that was really mind blowing to me. I don't know if that, stood out to you that way for you.
Yeah, it did. And keep in mind, like, John wasn't against playing with good players, because, he wanted to play with DeMarcus Cousins. He wanted to play with Eric Bledsoe. But it was Xavier Henry. And I do remember that Nike Hoop Summit, and during that Nike Hoop Summit, John and DeMarcus didn't think that Xavier passed the ball and just didn't think that he would be a good fit for them as a collection. So it was certainly a unique thing to hear. It was also interesting to hear him talk about getting cut from varsity when he was a sophomore. I knew the story. I never really heard him say it. So that was certainly unique. I just thought John in general was so open and honest. And look, he's a passionate dude when it comes to basketball, and he loves to talk ball.
Yeah. I was also surprised that he was living in Montgomery County in Maryland, which is where I'm quarantined at. I was like, oh, I should go see if he wants to go for a bike ride. But So pivoting over to the NBA side, a number of the coaches that you spoke to so far have guys who are on the team last year who are currently entered into the NBA draft, but haven't yet signed with agents. So theoretically, they could still come back to school. And they talked about how they help their players navigate the NBA draft process. But to me, this time it's different. You know, the NBA season is over. I'm sorry, the NCAA season is over, but the NBA is suspended indefinitely. And until they finish the season, they can't really have a draft process. And so I'm curious, have any coaches spoken to you maybe offline about the challenges they face as advisors in the unique run-up to the NBA draft?
Yeah, it's an interesting process. And I think you made a good point. Like, the truth is there's not really going to be a process this year. It's a unique situation. And I think that we're seeing a lot of kids declare for the draft, have already declared for the draft. And most of these guys are going to come back. But it almost feels like there's a good portion of them that are doing it for attention, not for, you know, getting feedback. Because the truth is it's going to be hard to get feedback. You can't go play and work out in front of NBA teams. You just can't do it right now. And are they going through the interview process? Yeah, they're going through the video interview process and that type thing. But in some of these circumstances, I think it's more so these kids can post an Instagram picture and say they're declaring rather than it actually being a serious deal. Now, there are certainly some really good players that are going through this process or what we just determined isn't really a process and considering both options. And these are guys that could potentially get drafted and, you know, having a head coach as a resource to help them through that is certainly a good thing. I'll say this though. I do think that there's been some pretty bad decisions already. I don't understand some of the decisions in terms of choosing to go professional during this time. And what I mean by that is, like, this is as uncertain a time as we've ever seen in this country. And if there's not going to be a process for you to help raise your stock, it seems like an interesting gamble to leave college right now if you're not a surefire first or second round guy. And, you know, we've even seen some kids that are attempting to do this out of high school. And I think it's a serious, serious gamble. I know I took your question and I went my own direction with it, but I felt that needed to be said.
No, it's good. I think the thing that's been most curious to me is the guys who are either projected maybe top 100 prospects, so not in that 60 that makes in the NBA draft, or even in, you know, the back third of that 60 who've decided to sign with agents when there's no pressure to do that because we've been pushing out the deadline and pushing out the deadline indefinitely.
Of course.
That's something that doesn't make sense to me. Like, if you decide that this is the move for you right now, I understand that. If you feel like, whether it's the NBA, the G League, or abroad, that going pro this year, but I don't understand why they felt the need to do it now.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with that. But, you know, if you cover recruiting and even basketball in general, as long as I have, one of the things that you learn pretty quickly is common sense doesn't always factor into the recruiting process. And I think that there's certainly been some bad decisions this go around. And look, the truth is college isn't for everybody. And sometimes guys just want to move on. And, you know, regardless of their playing career or not, they're done with college. And I get that. But if you're making decisions for your basketball career, I don't think now is the time to just roll the dice and gamble. When you're not going to have an opportunity to attempt to improve your stock, whether that be at the combine or in workouts or in interviews.
No, absolutely not. And if anybody is interested in more conversation about this, we did a whole episode a couple weeks back, me and Kevin Flaherty. I encourage you to go check that out. Along these lines, that stood out to me was when you were talking to Nate Oates about him coming to Alabama and re-recruiting guys. And that really stood out to me in the context of Wake Forest turning over their coach, and you see nearly their entire roster transferring out, certainly the vast majority of their contributors. What is that process of re-recruiting guys when coaches come back in, particularly as it relates to guys who are very close to the draft? Because that conversation you had with Nate Oates was wild to me.
Are you saying, like, when they take over the job
and are trying to make sure that the roster stays?
Yeah, I mean, it's a difficult thing, dude. And, you know, think about the guys, you know, think about Steve Forbes, who just took the Wake Forest job, and how he's got to try to compile a roster in the midst of a pandemic. You know, he can't bring kids on campus. He can't set up official visits. And it was also so late in the process that you missed out on really prime time transfer season. You missed out on some of the late high school signees. So, you know, he's a prime example. And Nate certainly did a good job of kind of explaining that. And it's true, man. It's really a difficult thing when you take over a program to compile that roster. And maybe now more than ever, it's maybe a little easier because you can always get some plug and play guys and transfers. And once kids are going to be able to do an immediate transfer, likely next year, where they can play right away, that'll be a way to help new coaches bring in some immediate talent. But it's hard to you've got to re-recruit the guys that you want that are currently there. You've got to find transfers. You've got to find high school kids. And you're doing all that while you're getting used to new surroundings, new bosses, building a staff. It's different, man. It's a tough process.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and on the flip side, more from Evan Daniels, including why he thinks some mid-majors could be the big winner of coronavirus recruiting.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
So building off of what you said about Steve Forbes, I'm curious, do you think that for coaches whose programs are kind of in flux at the moment but are still in the job, do you think that the coronavirus kind of delaying or pushing down normal seasons out at least a year, do you think that will kind of help people stay in their jobs, or, you know, make university presidents or athletic directors say, you know what, how can I judge them on this year? Or do you think it maybe is going to accelerate it because, like, well, this year was so bad due to the coronavirus, we can't wait another year to find out if this coach is going to be what we need them to be? Not speaking about anybody in particular that you've spoken about or otherwise, just generally speaking.
Yeah, I think this past spring we saw the coronavirus have a major impact on the coaching carousel. Not a lot of movement, and that was because of the coronavirus. It's not a great time to for athletic directors to make moves or for them to ask boosters to pay a buyout. It's not a good time for any of that stuff. Obviously, it's a tough time around the world, but anybody that was, you know, on the edge of potentially getting fired or keeping their job, almost all of them kept their job. I mean, Wake Forest was the lone high major to turn over. I do think Tony, next spring could be potentially wild because you're not going to get that same benefit of the doubt next year. Not if there ends up being a collegiate season. I foresee a lot of turnover next year.
Mm-hmm. You know, on the football side, there's talk a lot about similar turnover moving in once things kind of settle down on the recruiting side. And I'm jumping ahead in my outline a bit, but I asked our colleague Brian Snow on last week's show, but I wanted to get your take as well. Do you think recruitment, so along similar lines for the classes of 2021 and 2022, will be changed by the fact that there is no AAU circuit this summer, no Peach Jam, no Summer Uprising, you know, none of that normal stuff? Do you think there's going to be like just a wild recruiting season next year?
Yeah, well, it's difficult because college coaches aren't going to be able to be out and evaluating players and seeing players this spring and summer. And it's going to lend to a lot of recruitments starting and finishing based on tape evaluations. And if you don't see a kid in person and you're making the eval off a tape evaluation, there's going to be a little room for error. You know, a lot of times you can figure it out. But you miss out on seeing these kids in person, and I think it's going to impact things. Now, Brian was right about this, and I wasn't sure he was going to be, but he wrote a story in the spring basically saying, like, he thinks this speeds up the recruitment of some of these kids, and it has. And I think where it's helped is local schools recruiting local kids, because there's a relationship there and maybe a fear in that kid's thought process that, you know, nobody else is going to come in and jump in the recruitment. You know, maybe that blue blood that they wanted to recruit them isn't going to see them, so they're not going to offer them a scholarship. So, hey, let's go ahead and commit to the local school. I think that's an area we've already seen a development in. And then I think the other thing is, we're going to have to pay close attention to this 2021 class, and it'll be an interesting case study, because the spring and summer, every year, a number of players emerge and enter our rankings for the first time. Kareem Manye is a great example. Last spring, he wasn't in anyone's rankings. I had never even heard of him. First April evaluation period, he blows up at the Under Armour event, ends up in our top 30, and he's now a high school kid that a year later is declared for the NBA draft. That guy this year probably wouldn't know who he is. So the 2021 class will be interesting. So there's going to be guys flying below the radar, and honestly, it's a chance for a lower high or a lower mid-major to steal a kid that's maybe a higher caliber player or prospect than their school.
Wow, I'm drooling at the prospect of a bunch of mid-majors who have, you know, really careful scouting and pick out some guys, and then a couple of years down the road in the tournament, all of a sudden we're seeing wild upsets because they were able to really dig in this process.
You better believe that's going to happen. That is 100% going to happen. And here's what else going to happen. Not only is that going to happen, but then next year when the one-time immediate transfer rule goes into effect, we're going to see kids that flew below the radar that would have ended up a top 50 or top 100 player go to a lower mid-major. He's going to have a terrific freshman season, and then he's going to get recruited away by the high major that maybe could have got him the first time around if we actually had a spring and summer.
Oh, I need a deep breath. Wow, that's crazy. That is a wild thing. Wow. Okay. Well, that is crazy. I almost wish I had asked about this at the front of the show. So like I mentioned earlier, I'm moving towards the end because I know you're so busy. You and your colleagues just released the final 2020 recruiting rankings a couple weeks ago. Before I let you go, are there any classes outside the top 10 that you think could be sneaky good, like, right away?
Ooh, that's a great question. I think you have to start with Stanford. This is a program that's bringing in Zaire Williams, a top 5 player in the country. We have him number 3 overall. Size, length, athleticism, skill set. He's a one-and-done guy. He's going to have an immediate impact at Stanford. But then they're also bringing in a guy in Max Norell, who was a late bloomer. He was one of those guys we were just talking about that blew up last summer, last July, in fact, and ended up in our top 100. I think he could have an impact at Stanford potentially right away. I'd probably look at Gonzaga's 3-man recruiting class. They've got a 5-star kid in Jalen Suggs. Love his versatility, his ability to play on or off the ball. He can really score it. But then they've got 2 other really equipped scorers. One is combo guard Dominique Harris, and the other is Julian Strother. Both of those 2 dudes know how to put the ball in the basket. And I think all 3 of those kids could help that program next year. And that's obviously saying a lot because Gonzaga is obviously loaded with talent.
I want to ask you, Stanford, I love that you singled them out because they were a team that were on my radar all last year, a really nice offensive team, but they couldn't put it together because they turned the ball over an insane amount. How are their recruits in terms of ball handling and making good decisions? Because I feel like if Stanford could just cut back on those turnovers, maybe they'd be like an 80-point a game team.
Well, you know, Zaire is a perimeter prospect and Max Morrell is a power forward prospect. But then they're bringing in a guard and Noah Tate. He's more of a 2-guard, more of a long-distance shooter. I think the key for Stanford is going to be getting Tyrell Terry back. This is one of those kids we were talking about that's going through the draft process, and there's some intrigue with him. I think it would be really beneficial for him as a player and his long-term development. If he goes back to Stanford, his body's not ready for the NBA. There's some fine-tuning to do. But he's just intriguing enough that he's going to go through this process and he's dabbling with it. But if they were to get him back, he's the straw that stirs the drink. He had a tremendous freshman season and could be a big help for them next year.
Yeah, Tyrell Terry is very curious to me because I completely agree with that whole assessment, but I just keep thinking about guys who I wasn't particularly impressed with in college, but still went out. I'm thinking about Kevin Herter. I'm thinking about Tyler Hero, guys who were drafted kind of ahead of what they had done in college because they're shooters, and Tyrell Terry, also a shooter. So like, I don't know what to make of him. We'll see what happens, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. No, it's, you know, he's a skilled playmaker, and, you know, he fits the position. I just don't think he's quite ready.
All right. Well, I got one last question for you. I've been patiently saving this question for the end, but I've got to know the answer. You are among the best dressed people, perhaps even the best in the office. What has been your sartorial approach when quarantining and not seeing most other human beings?
Honestly, I am super routine oriented, and I approach the quarantine like I approached any other day. The time I get up every day is basically the same. When it wasn't in quarantine, I get up, I shower, I dress like I'm going into the office, and my workplace and where I've worked throughout this quarantine has been different. It started off when my coffee shop was open, I was still going to it. Then I worked from the lounge in my building, then they closed it down. Then I worked from the conference rooms in my building, then they closed them down. Then I worked from the lobby of my building, and now they started to reopen things. I went to a coffee shop today. So the truth is, man, I've really tried to keep my same schedule because that's what helps me flow. That's what helps me tick. And if I get off of my schedule, it's not good. It's not good for my productivity, and it's not good for me. So, you know, I've kept it the exact same, man. And I appreciate the compliment.
There you have it. At Evan Daniels on Twitter. You should check him out. If you're not following him already, shame on you. And I be sure.
Shame on you.
That's right. That's right. Like, where else are you going to find out who's going where? Evan Daniels is breaking stories, and he's kind enough to come on the 24/7 Sports College Basketball Show. Evan, thanks so much.
Hey, thanks for having me, brother. Have a great day.
You too.
All right. Awesome stuff from Evan Daniels there. Really hope you enjoyed it. I certainly did. That was really cool for us. Evan is an invaluable resource for us at 24/7 Sports, and it's great to have him on the team. So like Evan and I talked about, a lot of the NCAA basketball schedule right now is pointed towards the NBA. And what I mean by that is that some of the dominoes in the NBA that have yet to fall greatly impact the college basketball season and schedule. Obviously, the NBA draft being prime among them, but the NBA draft won't be settled until the NBA decides when it's going to have its postseason. Of course, the postseason determines the draft lottery odds, which is by extension determines the draft order, which by extension determines the draft. And the NBA won't be deciding the NBA draft date, workouts whether or not they happen until they decide on the NBA season, which, as everyone I'm sure knows by now, is going to hopefully happen in the near future. On Friday, Adam Silver, commissioner of the NBA, is going to be talking to the Board of Governors, as well as GMs and owners throughout the week. And sometime in the near future, there's a real possibility that the NBA is going to announce that their schedule is set for the remainder of the ongoing season. And once that happens, then we college basketball people are going to have a much better sense of when the NBA draft is, and then by extension, whether or not and when, if they exist, there will be workouts. And the NCAA will then be able to determine when the deadline for underclassmen to return to the NCAA will be. And so, in the near future, there's going to be a lot for us to talk about. And whenever that happens, whether it's on our regularly scheduled Wednesday or sooner, I'm going to be here with someone to talk about all those schedule ramifications, what it means for guys who are straddling the NBA NCAA line. Whenever that happens, we're going to come to you with another podcast. It might be in our regular Wednesday slot. It might be earlier. We are going to have a regular episode for you next week, but there is in all likelihood going to be a second episode talking to you about the NBA draft and what that means for the NCAA. So, that's going to do it for today's episode of the 24/7 Sports College Basketball Show. Thanks again to Evan Daniels for coming on and sharing some stories with us. Really enjoyed that. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Rate and review on Apple Podcasts. And until sometime in between now and next week, I am Tani Levitt, and this is the 24/7 Sports College Basketball Show.
want to win your fantasy football league, it starts right now. The offseason is the best time to get ahead of the competition. We'll help you win your league on the Fantasy Football Today podcast, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network. Fantasy Football Today has 3 episodes every week following the latest news, giving you early rankings, early sleepers, breakouts, and busts. So if you're a dedicated fantasy football manager, check out the most dedicated podcast, Fantasy Football Today. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found.